Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In Rhode Island today, there's growing outrage about the pending release of a man convicted of murdering a five-year-old child some 35 years ago. The story raises troubling questions about the criminal justice system and the concept of rehabilitation.
Last week, convicted murderer Michael Woodmansee was transferred from a Massachusetts prison to Cranston, Rhode Island, for what may be the last phase of his incarceration. In 1982, Woodmansee was sentenced to 40 years in prison for the gruesome murder of 5-year-old Jason Foreman. Now, Woodmansee is facing early release.
Flo Jonick of WRNI in Providence is following the story, and she joins us from the studios there. And Flo, good to have you.
Nice to be here.
So tell us how this all started. This was a particularly shocking crime back in the 1970s, right?
It was. Anybody who was here at the time remembers this vividly. Jason Foreman, he was an angelic-looking 5-year-old with nice blonde hair, went outside one day in May 1975 to play with his brother and some other kids. At a certain point, Jason got tired and said he was going to go home. The path he would have taken to his house would have taken him right in front of the home of Michael Woodmansee, a 16-year-old high school student who had a reputation for being a little odd, but nobody thought he was definitely evil. At any rate, Jason never returned home that day or the next day or the next day. An enormous search was launched. It was characterized to me as one of the largest in Rhode Island history, but they couldn't find him. So 7 years pass, and finally a 14-year-old paperboy goes to police, same town, South Kingstown, Rhode Island, and reports that Woodmansee had lured him into his house, forced him to drink something that knocked him out, and when he woke up, Woodmansee was trying to strangle him. So, of course, police questioned Woodmansee. After some length of questioning, he admitted stabbing Jason 7 years earlier. He said he did it for the fun of it, and he directed police to where they could find his remains. And police found them. They were just some shellacked bones and skull that officials say had been deliberately cleaned of flesh. They were found on Woodmansee's dresser. They also found a journal detailing the how the crime was committed, but Woodmansee insisted that that journal was all fiction.
Mm. So eventually Woodmansee is tried. He's sentenced to 50 years in prison, 40 to serve. Flo, with such a crime as this, why didn't he get life in prison?
Well, Rhode Island law calls for life in prison for first-degree murder, but this was a plea bargain, which the family of the victim agreed to. He pleaded to second-degree murder, which carries a lesser sentence. In exchange, the family didn't want to have to go through the hearing the details of what had happened to this little boy. As to why he's being released now, after serving only 28 of the 4 years, Rhode Island law prescribes that you get 10 days off a month for good behavior and another 2 if you hold a prison job, and Woodmansee is taking full advantage of that law.
And what's the response been in Rhode Island? I understand that the state attorney general has asked the Department of Corrections to look at any way, some way, to keep Woodmansee in prison. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. There have been, since the Providence Journal broke this story last weekend, there have been hundreds of calls placed to the Corrections Department and to the Attorney General's office. Right now, the Corrections Department is having Woodmansee psychiatrically evaluated with an eye towards having him involuntarily committed as a danger to himself and others. Now, the bar here is pretty high in Rhode Island. This is tough to do. On another track, the Foreman family, the victim's family, wants the early release law revoked for violent offenders. But even if that were to happen, and no bill has been introduced yet to make it happen, it may not apply to Woodmansee because new laws typically are not retroactive.
I see. So how are sort of folks in the community reacting? What's going on there?
People are freaked out here. They're very upset. There's a widespread belief that Woodmansee is not cured of his violent behavior and will definitely offend if released. Frankly, they're terrified of him. As for protests, yes, a couple are planned. One this Saturday in the coastal community of South Kingstown, where this crime happened. A second planned for next Wednesday in front of the State House in Providence.
Is anyone making the case that Woodmansee has been rehabilitated and that this is the way the law is written, so it has to be followed?
I haven't heard anybody say he's rehabilitated. But nobody, of course, has talked to him. He was just transferred out of that prison in Gardner, Massachusetts, to Rhode Island a couple days ago. The retired South Kent Kingstown police chief, a guy named Clinton Salisbury, who supervised the arrest and prosecution of Woodmansey, told a local paper, and I'm quoting here, "Legally, he has served his time. That's the law. You have to remember that's the way it works." So some law enforcement officials are saying there's nothing we can do about this.
Sure. Nevertheless, there's quite a bit of backlash to this release, some folks responding with some pretty strong language, right?
Exactly. And some of the strongest language has come from John Foreman, Jason's father. During a radio interview, he threatened to kill Woodmansey. And the current police chief of South Kingstown has stated publicly that Woodmansey is not welcome back in town. But if he tries to return, they'll do the best they can to protect him.
Really disturbing story. Thanks very much. That's Flo Jonick of public radio station WRNI reporting from Providence. Thanks again, Flo.
My pleasure, Anthony.